On the day I was born, 3rd of August 1986, The Edge of Heaven by Wham was number one. Since I can remember, an annual tradition was playing it as loud as possible as soon as I woke up. I remember all the birthdays of my childhood through the sound of George Michael's defiant yeah, yeah, yeahs in the opening bars, jumping on my mum and dad's bed in my pyjamas, eating sprinkle sandwiches for breakfast. It is why my middle name is George, Nina George Dean. This mortified me throughout my adolescence when my flat chest and certain jaw gave me a masculine enough energy without also being named after an aging male pop star. But like all abnormalities and embarrassments of childhood, adulthood recalibrated them into a fascinating identity CV. The weird middle name, the birthday breakfast sandwich spread thick with margarine and dipped in hundreds and thousands, all of it strung together to form my own unique mythology, which I would one day speak of with bewildered pride to airtime and intrigue. Mortifying oddity plus time equals riveting eccentricity. On my 32nd birthday, 3rd of August 2018, I brushed my teeth and washed my face while playing The Edge of Heaven from the speakers in my living room. Then I spent the day on my own, doing and eating all the things I loved the most. For breakfast, I had a poached egg on toast. I can confidently declare, at 32 years old, that there are three things I can do flawlessly. Arrive anywhere I need to be on time with 5 minutes to spare. Ask people specific questions in social situations when I can't be bothered to engage in conversation and I know they'll do all the talking. Would you say you're an introvert or an extrovert? Would you say you're ruled by your head or your heart? Have you ever set anything on fire? And poach an egg to perfection. I checked my phone and found a grinning selfie of my parents wishing me a happy birthday. My best friend Catherine WhatsApped me a video of Olive, her toddler daughter, saying, "Happy birthday, Auntie Nino." She still couldn't get it quite right, despite extensive tutoring from me. My friend Mira sent a gif of a luxurious-looking long-haired cat holding a martini in its paw with the message, "Cannot wait for tonight, birthday gal," which meant she would certainly be in bed before 11. This is what happens when people with children get too worked up for a night out. They tire themselves out with anticipation, set themselves up for a fall with their bravado, get stage fright, then ultimately go home after two pints. I walked to Hampstead Heath and went for a swim in the ladies' pond. On my third circuit, the inoffensive lick of summer rain began to fall. I love swimming in the rain, and would have swum for longer had the matronly lifeguard not ordered me to get out for health and safety reasons. I told her it was my birthday and thought this might grant me an off-the-record bonus circuit. But she informed me that if there was lightning, it would directly strike me in the open body of water and fry me like a rasher of bacon. Not a mess she wanted to clean up, whether it's your birthday or not. I came home in the afternoon to my new flat and the first home that I'd bought. It was a small one bed in Archway on the first floor of a Victorian house. The estate agent's generous description of the property was that it was warm, eccentric, and in need of modernisation. It had a carpet the colour and texture of instant coffee granules, a peach-tiled 80s bathroom replete with abandoned bidet, and two broken doors on the pine kitchen cupboards. I was sure it would take as long as I lived there to afford to do it up, but I still felt lucky every morning I woke and looked up at the swirly crusts of my Artex ceiling. I never imagined I would ever be able to own a flat in London. The actualization of this once impossible dream alone made it the best place I'd ever set foot in. I had two neighbours, an elderly widow named Alma who lived above me, whose hallway small talk about how best to grow tomatoes on a windowsill, and generous donations of leftover homemade kibber were both delightful. And a man downstairs who I hadn't yet met despite having moved in a month ago, and made a number of attempts to introduce myself. I'd knock, but there was never an answer. Alma said she'd never spoken to him either, but she did once talk to his female flatmate about the building's electricity meter. I only heard him. He came in from work at 6 o'clock and made virtually no noise until midnight, when he cooked and ate his dinner and watched TV.